So we've been in Romans, and we're going to pause. It's been a heck of a year. And so Tuesday, the election. Wednesday, I trashed my sermon and started over. And what I mean by trash my sermon, I just don't want to try to make that sound cool. It sounds like I took it, and man, I just bundled it up, and I threw it in the wastebasket, threw some lighter fluid on it, and boom! No, I just set it aside as a file on the computer. We'll come back to it. We'll get to Romans 7 like next week, or actually probably the week after. But I wanted to talk through some other things. We have been through a lot this year, hadn't we? COVID. Like, we started off, just us as a church, we started off, moved into this building at the end of December. We're all psyched. We're happy. We're building up. We got folks attending, and we're looking and actually starting to get a little tight, like on a grand opening day. Man, it was tight in this place. We didn't have a whole lot of seats left. And next week, we have our chili cook-off, and the week after that, most churches are closed. We're still open, and the news is here saying, hey, why you dummies open? We're on the news for that. Right? You remember that? And then closed, and it's going to be 2 or 3 weeks to flatten the curve. Man, that curve ought to be dead by now, because we were closed for a long time. We did not expect that, and we were just working with the knowledge we had. Like, we've gotten slammed. Pastors get slammed. Can't believe y'all were closed for so long. You've compromised the word. No, dude, we were just working with what we had. Right? Just working with the knowledge we had. But it's been a heck of a year. Murder hornets? They ain't here yet, but my goodness. In the midst of this, my understanding is that our government released info that, yeah, UFOs are present. And we were like, hey, man, this has been such a year. We just shrugged. Okay. This is the year we are in, right? This has been crazy. And in the midst of it, and we can laugh about it, and I got that, and I want to, but in the midst of it, moms and dads and grandparents have been in the hospital alone and have passed away, right, in this year. And in nursing homes, and we couldn't even see them. Businesses that people have worked so hard for have had to close and are still closing. Others have been burned with fire, trashed. And that's not a political statement, it's just a frickin' true thing. Frickin' is in the Greek. My understanding is, because this is my world, right? Love Jesus, church is my world. My understanding is that within a little over a year, about 60,000 churches in America will close. As a direct result of COVID and our reaction to it. It's been a heck of a year. And then Tuesday hits. And there's an election. Yeah, we're going to go there a little bit too. And that ain't easy. And you got a divided nation. I'm not meeting many people who are like, eh, I don't care. Most folks are like, yes or no or, yeah, now we're divided over that sort of stuff. And there's this scripture that I love. And you'll know the scripture if you've been in church. It's out of Psalm 94 or maybe 46, who knows, it's a psalm. Be still and know that I am God. I love that verse because the be still is more than just stay silent. It literally means to stop fighting, to stop striving, to become helpless before the Lord. All it really is just recognizing what you really are because everything you have comes from him. You say, man, I'm so courageous. Who gave you that courage? If God didn't give you the ability to be courageous, you wouldn't have it. If God didn't give you breath in your lungs, you wouldn't be able to say that. It all comes from him. Be helpless. And know that he's God. Know that he is who he is. I love that one. Not be still and know that everything's going to work out just fine and it's all going to be good and no worries. And No. It doesn't say that. That there won't be any pain, any hurt, that everything will be perfect. No. Doesn't say everything will be perfect. It's be still and know that I'm God. We want to pause. We want to realize, man, we aren't all powerful. He alone is God. There's a verse that I come back to all the time. It's Isaiah 26:3, and it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed or fixed on you because he trusts in you. And that word peace, you'll know that one. You've probably heard it before from your Jewish friends. Shalom. You will keep him in perfect shalom, because whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And shalom is more than peace. It is wholeness, completeness. It is full peace. You will keep him in wholeness. He'll be sound. He'll be secure. He or she whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And here's the big thought for today. We'll come back to it several times. If you know Jesus, what you have in Christ is greater than anything you could ever lose in this life. And so you don't stop living because of, you live in spite of and in the moment of. You don't go, okay, I'm going to wait until COVID is over. I got news for you. Just, I don't want to freak you out, but I got news for you. 2021 clicks on and on January 1st, you know, midnight, 01 p.m. It doesn't mean that everything goes away, right? You don't get to go, okay, it was all a nightmare. Everything's cool now. It doesn't work that way. It's okay to grieve lost opportunities. It is. Hey, man, my kid didn't get to go to prom, and that was something they looked forward to all their life. They didn't get to graduate. Hey, we had to do the wedding with like five people there, and everybody else had to be teleconferenced in. And it's okay to grieve lost opportunities. It's okay to grieve the things that haven't happened and what we've lost. As a pastor, I've grieved folks that I was seeing every Sunday, and we're beginning to talk, and man, they're coming close to knowing Jesus, and they don't quite yet, and they're telling me, man, I'm not sure I believe, but I like coming, and I ain't seen them since COVID. And he's coming. It's okay to grieve lost opportunities, but what you have is greater than anything you could ever lose. And those folks, Jesus can still be calling them. I'll trust him with that. There's a people, and they've lost it all. They've lost everything. And they're waiting, they're not living, and God sends a prophet. And that's where we're going to go. Be still and know that I am the Lord is awesome. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you is awesome. But I want to go into Jeremiah, and I want to look at a people who've lost everything, because I feel a sense of loss. And some of you are feeling it right now. Some of you are rah, rah, rah because the person you voted for, it looks like, is in. Some of you are upset because it looks like the person you voted for isn't in. And some of you are saying, hey, it ain't over yet. And there's all sorts of emotions. But these people have lost it all. And I want to look at those folks. This is Jeremiah 29. Prophet speaking. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, these folks are exiles. They are under the wrath of God. And you have to know that that happens. God can have wrath upon an individual, and you can't read the Bible and say that's not true. It would be hard to make that case. God has done that with nations before. These people are under wrath. They have lost everything. And not all of them have done all the things that they're under wrath for. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, as a nation, they get judged. Some people who just love God are in exile. They've lost the promised land that their ancestors had won, that God had given them, that they had fought for. They've lost their culture. They've lost their freedom. They're living in Babylon, a wicked nation. They've lost their temple worship. In fact, the temple itself has been desecrated. They have lost everything. And God, speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, says, hey, I need you to hear me. This is me, God says. You guys are exiles in Babylon. You've gone from the promised land, Jerusalem, into Babylon. And here's what I'm saying to you, he says. I want you to build houses. I want you to live in those houses. I want you to plant gardens, and I want you to eat their produce. And in my head, I can hear them saying, like, what? What are you talking? This is, build houses. We're going back to the promised land. We may be here for a minute, but we ain't staying here. We ain't putting down roots here. No way, no how. Going home, man, I hate this place. I'm going to go into my tent and try to figure out how to shut the flap real loudly so it looks like you know that I'm mad, God. Like, they're not happy, right? And God says, I want you to put down roots. Because, like, you know, when you build a house, that's years. You put down a tent, that's like one day, a couple of days, a week. God says, I want you to build houses. I want you to live in them, plant gardens. Oh, now we're talking years for sure, months and years as they begin to produce those gardens, some food for you. God says, I want you to plant gardens. I want you to eat their produce. And then he goes further. He says, I want you to take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. And here's what he's saying. You've lost it all. You're going to be here for a while, at least three generations by my count from what I just read. These are God's people. God is love. We know that, right? God is love. But there is no out. There's no escape from the circumstances. Where you are, be planted and stay there, because you ain't moving. That's what the scripture says. That's what God says. And then he says, I want you to multiply there and do not decrease. And these folks would have said, no, no, no. I need any baby born to me to be born in the promised land. I don't want them born in this unclean land with these unclean Babylonians, these uncircumcised, these people who eat pork, these people who worship pagan gods. I don't want my child born in that land. And God says, oh, yeah, yeah. Have your kids here. Multiply there. Do not decrease. Bloom where you're planted. Yeah, but Lord, it's a cow patty. Bloom there anyway. That's what he says. Live fully where you are. Because, listen, it's all you have. That's all you got. Even if change is coming, you'll die before you see it. You're going to be there for generations. Live fully now while you have now. Live fully where you are. This is what God's word is. Where you are. Because that's all you have. Even if change is coming, I just said that you will die before you see it. Live fully now while you have now. What God says next is beyond ridiculous. God has just told these people who've lost everything that I want you to live fully in this place where there's all these people who have oppressed you, have taken you, stolen your freedom, taken you from the promised land, desecrated the temple of your God. These people, I want you to live fully in this land. What he says next, listen, it's just crazy town. It's that moment where you go like, maybe I'm just hearing voices and that's not God. This is that moment. God says this, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf for it. And they would have had to say like, are you kidding me? Seek the welfare of the city. These folks are pagans. These folks desecrated our temple. There was pig's blood on the altar. They tore down all of the holy things that we had set up. They have enslaved us. They have killed our people. And God says, pray for the welfare of the city. Dude, pray for the welfare. I want to pray for like hellfire and brimstones. That's what I want to pray for. Pray for the welfare of the city. And that welfare, shalom. Pray for the peace, the wholeness, the soundness, the completeness of the city. And they would have had to say, wait, so there's two things. Seek it. That's an active, like, hey, man, I'm seeking to whatever will bless this city. And then pray for it. And I'm actually going to God in prayer and saying, Lord, bless this city of my enemies who took everything from me. And not just me, my children, who will not be able to grow up in the promised land that I lived in, that my father lived in, that his father lived in. And you want me to bless them? Are you friggin' kidding me again from the Greek? Are you kidding me? And then he goes further, and he says this, for in its welfare, in its shalom, in its peace, in its wholeness, you find your peace, your wholeness, your welfare. Your fortunes are tied to the land, the fortunes of the land in which I've placed you. That's why you do it. You seeing some parallels here, right? Because we got Christians that are praying down judgment on this land. You're not wise. I love you. That's never a good day when your pastor calls you foolish, but I'm telling you, you ain't wise. Don't do that. Judgment begins at the house of God according to the New Testament. You want to be mighty careful here because I got to tell you, even though you've covered it over really well, you got stuff in your litter box too, sunshine. And God's going to deal with you before he deals with them. To whom much is given, much is required. I need to tell you, this is where I am. I have been seeking the welfare of the city. I made a decision this year, and I'm not rationalizing, I'm not apologizing. I decided to speak in a way that I never have on social media in terms of political stuff. You don't have to agree. I'm not asking for anybody's agreement. I was seeking the welfare of the city. I'm choosing to believe that if you were different, you were doing the same. We may have come from different perspectives, but I don't remember defriending anybody over it. I'm seeking the welfare of the city. For me, that's the welfare of our nation. For you, that's that. And I'm doing it, and I hope you are as well, for them, those who don't yet know Christ, for us, those who do, and for our children and grandchildren who are going to inherit this nation. And I'm troubled. And regardless of which side of the aisle you're on, if you're on a side of the aisle, you're troubled too. We all are. We may disagree on some things, but we're all troubled as we look at just trajectory and where we're going, right? All of us are going like, dude, there's some problems. If there's not, your head is in the sand and we need to get you some oxygen. A little troubled. Seek the welfare of the city where I've placed you, for in its welfare you find your welfare. So while living here fully and now, not saying I'm going to wait till I get this person in office or that person, not until COVID passes because it may be with us for generations, not until right now, right here, you're supposed to be living fully. Seek to increase and don't decrease. Don't put off living until. Well, once we get a vaccine, do we have a flu vaccine? Is it gone? Well, once we, no. Seek to live fully where God has placed you in the moment that he has placed you and know that there is purpose in that, because if you know Jesus, you're a light in a world that is dark. And if you're putting off living, what are you doing with the light? Okay, let me just put a bushel around it. It'll be great. Now, I know I'm salty, but I don't want anybody tasting that salt, so I'm just going to go ahead and make myself bland. Dude, you're missing the point of why you're here. Seek the welfare of the city and pray. Live fully, God says, where I've placed you. And instead of calling down judgment on those people over there, seek the welfare of the nation. Babylon was wicked. They were completely evil, absolutely given over to sin. Some say that they were known for sacrificing babies to a false god. That's wicked. That's ungodly. And God says, I want you to pray for them. Seek my blessing on them. By the way, God's people in a nation are part of God's blessing on them. Oh, louder for those in the back. God's people in a nation are God's blessing on them. God's people in a family are God's blessing on that family. God's people in a company are supposed to be God's blessing in that company. God's people in an organization are supposed to be a blessing on that organization. God places his people in order to be a blessing to those around them. And believers cease to be a blessing to a nation. Listen, we seek to be a blessing to a nation when we get our eyes off of our God and we start thinking that our life is about our comfort and our preferences. It was never meant to be. It's about our God and his mission and his call on our lives. I look at our nation, I ain't comfortable. The things I don't like, you should feel the same way. But instead of turning it into outrage, I turn it upward to God. Lord, there's some things going on. What's my part? What do I need to do? And Lord, I want you to bless the nation. It's easy to curse a nation. Anybody can do that. Lord, I want you to bless it. And I may not like the things that are going on, and I may be upset by some things, but Lord, I'm not screaming, burn it down. I'm screaming, Lord, send your spirit and teach me what to do in the midst of it. That's what we're supposed to do. If you know Jesus, let me say it again, what you have in Christ is greater than anything you could lose in this life. And so you don't stop living just because things aren't going the way you want them to go. Let's go further. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Now watch this. Don't let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. And what that tells you is, he just said you're going to stay here for 70 or for a number of years. You're going to be here through three generations. He's going to tell them in a second 70 years. He says, don't let those folks tell you that you're going back too soon, like any moment you're going back. Because that's what they were saying. It'll be okay. You're going home any minute. Because that'll keep you from living for God here and now. You won't build the house. You'll put it off because you could be going home any minute. You'll just live in your tent. You won't garden. You'll put that off because who cares? I'm going to go back home any minute. He says, don't listen to the dreams that they dream. It's a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I didn't send them, says the Lord. It'll be okay. You're going home any minute. That'll keep you from living for God here and now. Oh, I've been hearing since, I think the first time I remember hearing it was 1986, 1988. Jesus is coming back this year. In fact, he will come back by the end of this year. Dude, I'm so glad I didn't sell everything I had. I mean, I was younger then. I didn't have much. I'm still saying, right? And I've been hearing it over and over and over again. He ain't come back, and I'm not saying he won't someday. I'm not saying he won't bring this thing to a close someday. Obviously, he will. But you know how many generations of people have died saying he's coming back in my lifetime? Live fully right now, right here, doing what he has called you to do until he calls you home or he comes back and draws us to a close. I keep hearing this. Coming back, can I just tell you, the way that America goes is not exactly on God's calendar in terms of when he's coming back. You say, man, things are getting dark here. Things have gotten dark in other nations. Others have risen and fallen before we even got here as a nation. Don't tie everything to America. God's plan is much bigger than that. Much bigger. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon. Ooh, three generations and then a great-grandchildren on top of that. When 70 years are completed, I will visit you. I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. And that's the translation is you're going to die here. Your bones are going to be buried here, not in the promised land. Well, I'll just confess my freedom, and I heard on TV, if I confess my freedom and sow my seed of faith, I'm getting out. See how that works out for you, princess? You still going to die here, but that televangelist is going to be rich. Going to have another jet plane. I'll just believe hard enough, not confess in Jesus' name. And no. Check the next verse out. Check it out. He just told him 70 years. And then your people are going to go back. Check out the next verse. For I know the plan. Some of y'all got this tattooed and it's out of context. Tattoo the context. Go back, get a bigger tattoo. I'm just saying. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for shalom, for welfare, for completeness, and not for evil to give you a future and a hope. He just told them they're going to die in Babylon and then says, here's the plans I have for you as a people. That's plural. My plans for the people is, yeah, I'm not done with you. You're under wrath right now, but I'm going to get you back to the homeland. It's going to take about 70 years. You're going to die here, but your people, your great-grandchildren, they're cool. They're going to go back to the homeland. But until then, lack of freedom, you're going to die in exile. But still, I have that plan for welfare, for shalom, for completeness. Peace and wholeness in God is not contingent, listen, upon where you are or what you're experiencing, but upon who your God is. And if your peace, if your wholeness is contingent upon what's going on around you, you're a slave to your circumstances. If your peace, if your wholeness is contingent upon what you're feeling inside at the moment, you're a slave to your feelings. We're supposed to be slaves to God, which sets us free. I know the plans. I'm going to give you, plural, your people, a future and a hope. Meantime, you individually can have peace and wholeness in me right this moment. Because I got you, God says, regardless. If your peace, if your wholeness, listen, is determined by your world and your circumstances, you will be a slave to things over which you have no control. And God did not create you to be a slave to those things. But here's the other side. Listen, church. If your peace and wholeness is determined by who your God is and what your God wants for you, you'll be free to serve God and bless others as God intended, regardless of what's going on around you. I remember these two guys. They're in prison. It's in the book of Acts. They've been beaten, and now they are chained down in jail. And there's a Philippian jailer watching over them, and they are singing hymns in the middle of the night. They're not confessing their freedom. They're not saying, I just know God's going to release me any moment. They're just praising God in pain after getting beaten. Like, I don't know that I'm that spiritual, but praise God for them. And God opens up the doors for them, and they don't leave because God says, stay. I got more work to do. There's a Philippian jailer. He and his family need to know me. Stay. Your peace and your wholeness is not determined by what's going on around you, but by who your God is and what he has for you. And so instead of being distracted over things over which you have very little or no control, you got very little control over these things. Instead, be still, that's helpless, and surrender to God, knowing that he is God. Be still and know that I am God. Scripture says you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Here's what it says. You'll have shalom, perfect peace, wholeness, soundness, whose mind is fixed or focused on God. Here's what it does not say. Every situation is going to be just fine. Everything's going to be okay. Promise you, that cancer will just go, it'll just melt away. That relationship that you think is so broken, I'm just going to heal it, it'll all be fine. It doesn't say that. Oh, no, you'll get your job back. You're going to make more money. Doesn't say that. Your demotion is just preparing you for your next promotion, brother. It doesn't say that, although I could say it with a big Texas accent. I am from there. It doesn't say that. It says you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. Because you're focused on him, because you trust in him. And so regardless of what's going on around you, there's peace because you know your God. He has not promised perfect circumstances. He's promised actually the opposite. In this world, you will have, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. You're in me. One day it'll all be set right. This ain't that day. This is a fallen world. Bad things happen. If you know Jesus, what you have in Christ is greater than anything you could lose in this life. Never stop living. Live fully where God has planted you. And what that looks like will change with the circumstances. Your God won't. So here's what that means for me. Eternity. It reminds me that this isn't all I have. Like, I don't want to live just for this world. 401k shrinks, or whatever you've got in the bank shrinks, or man, it's hard to make rent, or whatever's going on with you. This isn't all I got. Relationships get broken in this world. You've got eternity. Mission. This isn't all that I'm here for. Whether or not I get to see the church grow and go to 3 services, it's not all I'm here for. The point is, I'm here for your glory, God. Mission. This isn't all I'm here for. How do I live for Jesus in the midst of a broken world when people are realizing how broken it is? The darker it gets in our culture, the greater Christ's light shines through those who love him. And that's what we're called to. And the glory of God reminds me the point of my life is to glorify him in all things. And there's peace. I trust my God, even in this. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. This, by the way, is anti-health, wealth, and prosperity. And thank God for that, because that's a false gospel that shipwrecks people's faith. And I want to deal with this, and I want to do it in the right way. Listen, some of you may have even posted this. I don't know that I've read it, but you may have. No matter who wins, Christ is still on the throne. That's the election thing, right? I understand the meaning. I agree. You focus on God, not on the stuff. I agree with that. You trust him regardless. But be careful. Yes, he's still on the throne. But listen, let me say it another way. Even though we've been talking, let's just say it another way. That's no guarantee against hardship. It's no guarantee against famine. It's no guarantee against sickness. He's been on the throne. We still got COVID, don't we? Oh, yeah. He's been on the throne. We've still been in wars. It means God is still God, regardless of the rest of that sort of stuff. And I want to show you, because these are the verses that we will see used sometimes, and they're misused. This is out of a psalm. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from deadly pestilence. Hey, tell that to the folks who've already passed on from complications, right, of COVID. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Okay, he's still on the throne. I get the verse, but it sucks to be those 10,000, but hey, I'm good. What? It's a psalm. It's poetic, and if you were to look at it closely, it's a messianic psalm speaking of Christ. That is Psalm 91. Go back and read it. It's poetic literature. It's not a guarantee of health, wealth, and prosperity for all believers. That's ridiculous. Right now in China, they're bulldozing churches and putting pastors in jail and beating people for knowing Jesus and beating people for other religions too. It's happening right this moment. In Nigeria, the Fulani, the Muslims that are the radicalized version there, are killing Christians. I read about it all the time. It comes across my news feed. In Somalia, and in so many other places, I won't even keep going. Well, God's still on the throne. Yes, he is. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In other words, he takes notice, and he brings them to himself, and that's their healing. Don't put the God is still on the throne as though everything's going to be fine. It may not be, but God is good regardless, and we're his people, and we have a mission during our very tiny bit of life that we have on this earth. Paul, in his very call to serve, in the book of Acts, Paul is blinded by the light, wrecked up like a deuce, another runner in the night. And while he is there blind, who did I just channel? The prophet Manfred man and the earth man. God calls a man and says, I want you to go and I want you to pray for Paul. And in that call, God says, I'm going to show him how many things he must suffer for my name. And Paul, when suffering, says, man, it's a privilege to suffer for Christ, that others may come to know him, that I may be made like Christ. It's all in how you see it, man. Peter is one of the inner three, Peter, James, and John, and yet he is crucified upside down for loving Jesus. John, remember him, the one Jesus loved? He was boiled in oil, they say, and survived. Oh, I'm no genius, but that don't sound good for like the rest of your life. And then they banish this guy who is so outgoing, such an extrovert, loves to talk to people, loves to hang out. This guy is banished to an island all alone. Like, that's an extrovert's version of hell. Mine is the opposite. I love you guys. Gonna have to have some time alone every now and then. It doesn't go well for him. And these are the people that walked closely with Jesus. They crucified our king. There's our first clue. What do we do? Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. Pray for it, for in its welfare you find your welfare. If you're on the side that says, hey, man, it looks like we lost an election, so seek the welfare. If you're on the side that says, hey, man, it looks like we want to, so seek the welfare. If you don't care about the election, if you love where we're going as a country, seek the welfare. If you hate where we're going, if you're worried for your kids, seek the welfare, because in its welfare, in its shalom, in its peace, in its completeness, in its wholeness, you find your completeness, your peace, your wholeness. We're tied to where we are. We're exiles in this land. The scripture says that in 1 Peter. We're tied to it. Seek its peace. Seek its wholeness. Yes, rail against those things that are injustice and wrong. Absolutely. But seek the peace of the city, because in its peace you find your peace. Seek peace for them who don't yet know Jesus, for us who do, for our children and grandchildren. We're going to go a little further next week. I actually have it in the notes, but I want to wait. And we're going to talk about peace versus unity and what we do. How do we live among people who are so divided? I read this week, one of my friends said, hey, listen, no matter how things went or how you voted, I'm glad it's over and I hope we can all just get along. And one of her friends wrote back to her and it just broke my heart. I will never forgive and get along with those who, and then just had a whole list, I'll show you next week, of labels of you're this, this, and this because you supported that man. There are people who don't want peace. What do you do as a believer when you want to give grace and want to seek peace? We'll talk about that, Lord willing, next week. I'm going to stop here. Kind of a weird place to